Okay, we thank everybody for being part of this study. We're here trying to get the order of events of last day events. Now, we have been studying lots of things. We studied last day events. I mean, we studied the thousand-year reign. We studied the rapture. We've studied the Matthew 24. We studied the Gospels. We understand. We studied seals, trumpets, plagues. But we've studied almost all the events that transpire in last day events. Now all we're trying to do is get things in order so that when we're talking with people, we can be able to help them understand what are the scriptures really saying. Okay? So that's where we are. Okay. Anybody want to take a stab at it, or y'all want me to explain it?
Well, I'm at Matthew 24. Do you want me to read something?
I'm asking you and Jabari. Jabari's on the line, too. Maybe you might want to take a stab at it. I don't know. That's what I'm asking.
No, you're fine. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
What you said, Jabari?
Go ahead.
I can't hear you. What?
Go for it.
Oh, go for it. All right. No problem. Okay. So in Matthew chapter 24, the most important things is starting at verse 1 through 4. We're going to move rapidly because all of this stuff we covered already. So we're just going to move very rapidly. Okay. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Gracious Father, we thank thee for your time to study on this Sabbath. Open up our hearts, minds, and understandings that we might be able to understand. Have it not my words, but your words. Have those that are listening that they might be able to hear your voice from heaven. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Okay, this is how it rolls. Matthew 24, verse 1. And Yeshua went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. And Yeshua said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, that there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Okay, and as they sat upon the Mount of Olivet, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? So, the point here is, Yeshua is on Mount Olivet. That's why it's called the Mount Olivet Discourse, okay? Because they said they come to him. He says, they say, look at the building. Look at all of the riches we have. Look at us. And he says, yes, I'm looking at you, and this is my comment, that this place will be destroyed. It will be destroyed so bad that there will not be left one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. Now, today we have something that's called the Weeping Wall. They claim this was part of Solomon's temple where people come there to pray. Jews come there and pray, you know, all the time. Okay, now, if there's a wall there, then the temple was not thrown down such that there's not one stone left upon another. That's the point. That's why I said we're looking at scripture very specific versus looking at it generally. Generally, in 70 A.D., the temple was destroyed. Everything was wiped out. The people were taken off into captivity. And so people say that the destruction of Jerusalem is this. It happened at 70 A.D. But if there's a weeping wall, it just tells you this isn't the same event. Now, listen, when you talk about prophecy, there's many ways it can be fulfilled. There's what we call dual application. That means it happens more than one time, dual application. Then we'll say that there's a partial fulfillment. Partial fulfillment means that it was partially fulfilled and it's not complete. There's still more to happen. Okay? Then there is final fulfillment. That means it finally was done. And then there's final complete fulfillment. That means everything is done completely, the whole prophecy, and it's the last application. So did you get that? No? Yes?
Dual, partial, final, complete.
Yes. There you go. That's what I was going to ask you. What were they? Dual, partial, final, complete and final complete. That's five.
What? I got four. Okay. Dual, partial, final, final, complete.
Right. Okay. Dual is one. Partial is one. Final is one. Complete is one. And then we're going to combine the last two. Final, complete. That gives you five. Okay. Now, I guess the question is, what do these mean? Do you know what dual is? Do you know what partial is? Do you know what final is? Do you know what complete is? Do y'all know what that means?
What's the difference between the last three? I mean,
okay, wait. Let's hit the first one first. Dual. Do you understand what dual means?
Two.
Okay. That means that it happens more than one time. So this one would be the destruction of Jerusalem happened in 70 AD. The destruction of Jerusalem happened at the time of Nebuchadnezzar. Okay? And in the last days, it's going to happen. So that has a dual application. We know at 70 AD, the temple was destroyed because there's nothing left but this wailing wall. At the time of Nebuchadnezzar, he destroyed the temple and took everybody and put them in captivity. So that you remember during the time of the minor prophets, they went back to rebuild Jerusalem. That's what it was all about because Jerusalem was destroyed. So there is a dual application, which is, means it happens more than one time. Okay? So that's what I wanted you to make sure you understood what that means. So that when someone says, hey, that already happened, okay, fine, but that could be a dual application. Don't say it's only one application, okay? Now, a partial is that part of it has been fulfilled. I'm just going to try to give you an application so that you can understand, okay? A good one would be, okay, I'm going to take one of their applications, okay? This is one of theirs. They say the 70-week prophecy of Daniel. All right, just turn there for a second so you can know. Because we're reading about this one so you can see what this one is. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, if I'm correct. Daniel chapter 9. Verse 24. Okay, and it says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, and then it makes this list. But now, it says how many weeks?
70.
70 weeks are determined upon who? God, not the church, not this, not all this other foolishness, the people, the Hebrew. And the holy city. And it says to what? Now, I think we've studied this before, but make your list. This is the list. So finish the transgression is number one. Make a sin, an end of sin is number two. Make reconciliation for iniquity is number three. Bring in everlasting righteousness is number four. Seal up the vision is number five. Seal up the prophecy is number six. And to anoint the most holy is number seven. So you have seven things that have to happen. Now, if all seven doesn't happen, then that means it's partially fulfilled. That's the key. But if you just look at it generally, you could say, okay, all this has happened. So that's the catch, okay? Now, did you list those seven? Now, in these seven, you're going to see what do they mean, okay? So he says that 70 weeks are determined upon the people. So he's saying that we have 70 weeks for all of this, for all seven of these things to occur. That's all. We don't have 1,000 years. We got 70 weeks. Okay. Now, this is the application that people use, as we talked about before, about the 70 weeks. There's different things. And this is where they get the pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, all these tribs. Okay, so 70 weeks. They say that a week is for a year. I mean, a day is for a year. So now we're talking about 70 weeks. So if you're talking about 70 times 7, right, that gives you 490 days. All right, y'all got that. 7 times 7, 490 days. All right, so now these 490 days are now converted to 490 years. This is how they teach. But, hey, I don't buy all of that no more, but I used to buy all that stuff. That's why I can explain it to you, because I used to teach you. Okay, so these 70, 490 years, they pick a time, and then they move forward. Okay, and some of it makes sense. It makes sense. It makes sense until you get to a certain point, then it doesn't make any more sense. And that's where you'll see how partial fulfillment, yes, that's partially, man. That's not complete. Okay? And that's not the final, because it can't be final unless it's complete. So that's where them last two come together. It could be complete, but then it could be repeated, so it's not final. So we want the final and the complete, not a partial and final. Not all of these tricks that are going on. So that's why I wanted to make sure, and that's why I was giving you the application, because you'll be able to see this about the 70 weeks. Okay, so the first one is to finish the transgression. Okay. Now, is transgression finished? Yes? No?
Is transgression what?
Finished. That's the first one. It says, hey, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city. First of all, he wants to finish the transgression. So, they'll say that, okay, at the time that Yeshua came, he finished the transgression. He came as the Lamb of Elohim to take away the sin of the world. Okay. Then it says, number two, to make an end of sin. Okay. They say that he made an end of sin when that happened. No, okay. Fine. Whatever. I'm just telling you the viewpoint first. Go ahead and attack it and break it down. Okay. To make reconciliation for iniquity. So that means he brings us back to Yahweh, and that at his death he did all of that. And to bring in everlasting righteousness, he was the example of everlasting righteousness, so he brought it available to us. And to seal up the vision, and this is the vision, and the prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy. Now, they claim that the Most Holy is an individual and is the Messiah. Okay. So that's how they pulled that off. Okay. So do you understand what's being said so far?
Yeah.
Okay, just think about it. So you have to be able to follow for you to follow the thought, because then you'll never understand partial and complete, final and all the rest of it. You won't need it. So what questions do you have in reference to the seven areas that we just mentioned?
So there are 490 years that the 70 weeks are referring to. Is that correct?
Right, because... why did we go to 70, 490 years instead of 490 days?
Oh, because you said something. What did you say? Because I can't remember. You put in something and you did times it by 7. You times 70, you times
something. Wait. Listen. You guys, y'all were homeschooled. You can do better than that. Try that again, clearly.
I don't know where you got the 7 from. Like, why did you times it by 7? 70 times 7.
Okay, good. That's what I need to know. You didn't understand where we got the 7 from. It says 70 weeks. So how many days is in a week?
7.
Okay, so that's where I got the 7 from. So it's 70 weeks. So it's 70 times 7 days.
Okay, so then how did you get 490 years then? Because like you said, that's 490 days. Why did you make it?
Okay, so now you see how we got the 490 days.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Okay, so now that we have 490 days, now they say, which the Bible does talk about sometimes, that he says that a day is for the year. So in Israel, when we left Egypt, we were wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Now, the question was, why did we wander in the wilderness for 40 years when it only took us 40 days to get to the promised land? And that's why he said that you guys were going to be punished because we had revolted, our adults had revolted against them. And so he said that you're going to be in here to wipe out the whole generation, which is 40 years. And he says you're going to be a day for a year. And that's what he said. So that's how you get a day that is equal, can be equal to a year in prophecy. So that's what they're saying. They're saying because this is prophecy, that's how it's happening. Okay, does that make sense? I mean, it does make a little sense.
Well, you really think that he means a day is a year in everything just because they wandered for 40 years and they're supposed to get to their promised land in 40 days?
Yeah, and it says that it'll be a day for a year. It's just like when we say that the Bible says that a day is as a thousand years with Yahweh. I mean, that's just an application. And that's how we get to 7 years, 7 days, and then the 7 millenniums. And remember, you can see throughout applications that he has a seventh-day Sabbath, right? And then the people have to rest. And then he says, I'm going to take that days and make it years. And so we'll have a sabbatical. Every 6 years you work the land, and the seventh year you have to let the land rest. You see, so there is application that he's always making a day for a year in application. He does that. I mean, that's just scriptural. So I can understand their viewpoint that, okay, we'll take this application to say that. Okay, now later on we'll find out that, you know, that's not going to jive, but that's okay. But the whole point is, in the beginning you see that. Okay. All right, so is that sort of clear?
It is.
Okay, cool. Okay.
I don't know how you can convince the people of that.
Okay.
Because
that's what they're gonna tell you, which is there's nothing invalid about it. It's just that it's, you know, I mean, unless you can explain why it's invalid at this point. And that's my study. That's a whole other view. But we don't want to get into all of that. Okay, so now, in the 70 weeks, okay, we got that part. Okay, so now you understand how we got 490 years. Yes, no, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right, so we're able to move to the next phase, right? Okay, so we have 490 years at this point. Okay. Now, the next thing we would like to look at, we'll try to understand. Okay, now, notice what it says in the next verse. Know, therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks. Okay? So he's telling us from what point to what point?
Are you still in Daniel?
Yes, I just read verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 80 days. The streets shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. So if you count this up, it says that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. So that means Jerusalem was destroyed. Okay? It was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. Okay? And for 70 years, we were in Babylonian captivity. After 70 years, then we were free. And then we went back to rebuild Jerusalem. So this is the time frame it's talking about. That's why you have to know history, your history, to understand it. This is basically some basic history. Okay, so now what does it say? It says from the going forth of the command to restore Jerusalem. There's going to be a commandment that's going to be issued. Okay, now there was three different commandments that was issued to rebuild Jerusalem.
So that's already happened, right?
Yes, this has already happened. Yes. Okay.
That's the part
so we're going to go back and see that. That's the whole key. You have to go back and see that. But notice what it says, unto the Messiah, the Prince. Okay? Now, the Messiah, the Prince, would be who? Yeshua, right? When he comes, right? So we should be able to count from the time of the Jerusalem being restored and rebuilt all the way up until Yeshua comes. It's going to be, it says, shall be 7 weeks, so write down 7 weeks, and 62 weeks, okay? Now, a score means 20. So 3 times 20 is 60.
Wow, I thought a score was 10.
Say again?
I always thought a score was 10.
No, and this is 20. 3 score, so that's 20. So you got 20 times 3 is 60, and then you got 2 more weeks, so that's 62 weeks, and then you add the first 7, that's 7 weeks, so that gives you 69 weeks, right? Now do the math.
Yeah.
It's a mathematics check. So the Bible can teach you calculus, algebra, and all the rest of the stuff, see, if you, you know, the Bible.
Get out of here.
Okay, so we have 69 weeks, and we're missing how many weeks out of the 70?
One.
And guess what they say this one is?
What?
The 70th week.
There you go. That's the tribulation. That's the week that they throw into the future, and they say this is when you get raptured. Yes. Now you see how the prophecy, these boys be pulling stuff out of the hats, man.
Okay,
but see, the key is you got to understand all this. Otherwise, they just confuse you. And you just say, oh, yeah, man, that sounds good to me. And before you know it, you agree into stuff that don't even what it says because you don't know because there's just so much. So anyway, so two things or three things have to happen, okay? So we need to understand what is this 7 weeks and when did somebody give a decree to rebuild Jerusalem? Okay, turn with us to 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 20. Okay, so that says, and them that escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his son until the reign of King of Persia, to fulfill the words of Yahweh by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. Okay, so what is this saying here? He's telling us that, hey, we were going to be servants to Babylon. We were carried away to Babylon by the sword, and we were going to be there until Babylon falls and the Media Persia, the Persian Empire, takes over. And this is, and the why is that happening? Is because we were fighting against Yahweh. We didn't follow him. So he says, I'm throwing you guys into Babylonian captivity, just like in America. We wasn't following him, so he was in American slavery. So these are fulfillments. These are partial fulfillments. These are not all complete fulfillments. And when you read in Deuteronomy, Leviticus, and so forth, he tells us that if we forsake him, he's going to throw us in the he's going to blow us into captivity. So we've been in many captivities. We've been in Babylonian captivity. We've been in Assyrian captivity. We've been in Egyptian captivity. We've been in American captivity. Okay? So these are fulfillments of these prophecies. Okay? So these are partial fulfillments. Okay. So now in verse 21, it says, this is happening to fulfill the words that were prophesied by Jeremiah until the land had enjoyed her Sabbath. Okay. Remember, what is a Sabbath?
When is the Sabbath, or what is the Sabbath?
Yeah, what is it says until the land can enjoy her Sabbath. What is the Sabbath of the land?
Every 7 years.
That's right. So it's called a sabbatical. That's right. Okay. For as long as she lay desolate, she shall fulfill 70 years. Now, what is 70 years? What number is that?
40. 70. Oh, 70, 70. Yeah, you're right. I keep thinking it's 10.
Okay, yeah, 70. Okay. So,
I keep forgetting it's 20.
Notice the patterns here. He's always going to be using 70, 70, 7, 7. He's always using 7. Okay? That's the key. So, in this prophecy here, he makes it crystal clear that the land is going to rest for 70 years. Because for 490 years, we did not keep the Sabbath of the land. You get that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the land resting for Sabbaths is important to Yahweh. Because he says, you go into captivity until that's fulfilled. Now I'll let you back into the land, and that's only in the condition that you start keeping what I told you to do. Now, it is very interesting when you read about about us leaving Egypt and going into the wilderness as we wander there and all of those different things. Abraham is given the promise many generations before that, saying that, hey, that this is going to be your promised land. This is the land I'm going to give you, the milk and honey, the land of Canaan. Now, he tells them that, and he says that you can't take the land now, because the sins of the Canaanites have not, their cup has not been full. That means they had not reached to the point that Yahweh could throw them out of the land. Or, and then later on, it'll tell you that Yahweh, that if you don't follow the lands, the laws that Yahweh has laid out for the land will kick you out. Like the land is living and knows what's happening to it. Now, you'll hear most Christians say, that can't be because you can't. So it's like it's a living entity, which it is. But the Bible says that. But, you know, we were just reading yesterday. Was that Ecclesiastes? It just made mention that we we're no better than the animal. We all have one fate. We all go through all that. And their lives are just a wind, and ours is also. And so we try to make ourselves superior in everything on the planet. And so when people say Mother Earth, then that means that Earth, you know, it produces food, it produces life for us and all the rest of that. And people don't want to look at the Earth as a living entity because we're killing it. When we pollute it, when we poison it, all of those different things. So Christians feel justified in killing people, enslaving people, massacring people, and killing the land, and that Yahweh does not mind. And so you can have a good conscience that it's okay, but it isn't okay. So Yahweh tells us that if you violate these things of the land will spew you out. That's the words it used. It will kick you out. So this is what happened at the time of Jeremiah. He's letting us know that for 70 years, because you guys didn't cooperate and didn't keep 70 Sabbaths or 490 years, you were kings, you ruled Palestine, but you didn't follow it. I'm kicking you out, and then when that time is up, then I'll bring you back. But I'm bringing you back so that you can understand where you made the mistake, not for you to continue doing the same thing. So that's why, now notice, this is 470 years happened twice, or 70 weeks has happened twice, okay? So with this, the next scripture is Ezra chapter 6, verse 8. Ezra chapter 6. Okay, Ezra chapter 6. We'll start at verse number, we can't start at verse number 8. It's 8 through 15. We're not going to read all of that. Right, but whatever. Okay, moreover, I make a decree that ye should do to the elders of these Jews from the building of his house, for this house of Elohim, that the king's goods, even the tribute, beyond the river, forthwith expenses be given to these men, that they be not hindered. Okay, so notice in verse number 8, what is it saying here? It says, moreover, I decree. So this is the king, Darius, he's decreeing. He's writing down on a piece of paper, telling people, hey, this is what's going to happen. This is what I want to happen to the Jerusalem. Okay, now, okay, that's verse number 8. Okay, and that which is need is bullocks and animals and so forth, whatever they need to, you know, to sacrifice and all the different things they need to do. Okay, and I have a decree, okay, verse 11. Also, I have made a decree that whoever shall alter this word, let timber be pulled down from his house and being set up, let him be hanged thereon, and let his house be made a dunghill for this. And the Elohim that have caused his name to dwell there, destroy all kings and people that shall put to their hand to alter and to destroy this house of Elohim, which is in Jerusalem. I, Darius, have made a decree. Let it be done with speed. Okay? So this is what Darius had written up and told people that, hey, I'm going to have them rebuild Jerusalem. Now, remember, the verse we read before that, it says that the people were going to be in captivity, in Babylon captivity, until the time of the Persians. And this is the Persian king. He set up and he said, okay, this is what we're going to do. Now, also look at Ezra chapter 1, verse 5. This becomes an important one. Then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, and all them whose spirit Elohim had raised to go up to build the house of Elohim, which is in Jerusalem. There it is. So this is where they build the house. Now notice what it says in verse number 1. Now, at the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, remember Jeremiah said when Persians come in, that the word of Yahweh by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, Yahweh stirred up the spirit of Ezra, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all the kingdom and put it in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, Yahweh Elohim of heaven hath given me all kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His Elohim being with him, and let him go to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of Yahweh Elohim of Israel. He is the Elohim. which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever remaineth of any place where he sojourneth, let the men of this place help him with silver, with gold, and with goods, and with beasts, besides the freewill offering of the house of Elohim. So here we have the decree that it's talking about. It says that they will go forth to build, remember, at the beginning of that, until the Messiah, the Prince, if they're going to start to rebuild Jerusalem. This is the decree that it's talking about. But let me tell you, there was three decrees. One given by Cyrus, one given by Darius, and one given by Artaxerxes. Okay? We won't go into all the details. We'll do that on another study. I just wanted to let you know. So they are confused. Okay, which one is the right one that will give us 490 years and the Messiah has come? So they, you know, they play with that. So we just say they picked the right one. That's not, we know, we're not going to argue over, you know, little spilled milk. That's fine. So now the first decree, the Messiah was born at, they say, around 4 B.C. So write that down, 4 B.C. The first decree occurred in 536 B.C. That's the one we just read about. The second decree happened in 457 B.C., and the third decree happened in 44 B.C., 444 B.C. You got them dates? How else are we going to make sure that we get to 490? That the boys, they lied to us. So these are the key factors. Okay, did y'all get those numbers?
My phone was ringing. So
okay.
I didn't tell.
Okay.
I just missed a
bottom
phone call
line.
And it wouldn't let me hear anything.
Okay, bottom line. If you take the first one, 536 BC, okay, let's start with that date, okay? And then the end date is 46 B.C.
26 B.C.?
Yeah. Do you see that?
Okay.
Okay. Let's try that again. Let's try that again. Take 536 B.C., subtract from it 490
mm-hmm.
B.C. Okay? And so it can't be the first decree because your Messiah is not even born yet. Because he doesn't been born until 4 B.C. So we have to throw out the first one, the 538. Okay, now let's come to the second decree. Second decree occurred at 457 B.C. Okay? So if that happened at 457 B.C., if we subtract from it 490, we come up with a negative 33.
Okay.
Okay, everybody see that? Now.
Okay.
Yes. Okay, so now, if the Messiah, okay, so right around that time, it says that the Messiah, he preached for 3.5 years. Okay? Now, so we know if he was born at 4 B.C., okay, and we move it forward, that would put him, okay, around how old?
I don't know.
You subtract 4 from 33, you get what? 29, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, now, remember, there's no 0 B.C., so you have to add a date. So now you get at 30. So that's where they said that he preached. He started preaching at 30, and he preached for 3.5 years before he died. And so that would fit the 33 A.D. So this is the date that's being used. Okay, so that's not a problem. So there's no need for us to look at this. The last decree. Nobody care about that. Okay. So now that, remember I told you what the pre, the post, and the mid-trib are. Do y'all remember what they were?
Yes. And again,
okay, now remember, we're talking about 69 years. We still got a 70th year. So at the death of the Messiah on the cross in 33 A.D., okay, that's when they said, okay, the prophecy said that what would happen? From the rebuilding of Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be the 69 weeks, which is fine. It comes out there. So he died in the 33, and so this is what they say. We have 1 week left, right? We did 69 weeks.
Yes.
We have 70 weeks. We have 1 week left. So they said that, okay, at the destruction of Jerusalem happened at 70 A.D., so you can't say 1 week, you have seven years left. So they take that 1 year, and they said that this confused the prophecy. We're going to throw it into the future, and that's when we'll have our rapture. Now, out of everything we read, let's go back to Daniel 24, Daniel 9, verse 24. If we go back to Daniel, we will see very clearly. When it talks about the 70 weeks, okay, it doesn't say that he's going to throw one in the future. Okay, so 70 weeks are determined. Then when we read down here in verse 25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandments to restore Jerusalem, okay, and that's what we read under the Darius command, okay, to restore and rebuild Jerusalem to Messiah the Prince, 33 A.D., the Messiah comes, shall be 7 weeks and 3 score and 2 weeks. So we added the 7 plus the 62, and we got our 69 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the walls, even in troublous time. Now, this streets and walls was being built on that 7 weeks, so that's where that falls in. And after 3 score and 2 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. So Messiah is killed in what? 33 A.D. Okay, so Messiah is cut off, no problem, at the end of the 69 weeks, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. That happened in 70 A.D. The city was destroyed and the sanctuary. And some people believe that's the complete fulfillment of Matthew 24 when he says that not one stone will be left upon another. But we know there's the Wailing Wall. So this happened in 70 A.D., and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the wars, desolation are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Okay? So this is the Messiah has his disciples, and for 1 week or 7 years, he's teaching them. He's supposed to be teaching them and helping them. Okay? And in the midst of the week, in the middle of 7 3 1/2, right? So 1/2 years, he preached. And in the middle of the 3 1/2 years, he's cut off or he's killed. Okay? And he shall cause the fact, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. And for now, so when Messiah died, I don't know if you remember, but when he died, the curtain of the temple was ripped open, and now for the first time, people were able to look into the sanctuary. And so that was to let them know that the Lamb of Elohim is dying, and that now the sanctuary services on earth are no more valid. It is only happening in heaven, because he goes to heaven and becomes our high priest. And in the midst of the week, shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. That's when he says it's all over. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So he's saying that what is he going to say for the overspread of abomination that we have done, that he's going to destroy the temple, and that's what happened in 70 A.D. And until this day, the temple has never been rebuilt. Now, for the temple to be rebuilt, guess what we have to have? We have to have some type of Jews in the Holy Land. so that they can make a decree to rebuild Jerusalem, so that they can make a decree so that they can start rebuilding the temple. And so guess what? In 1948, they voted in the European Jews, who are not really the Jews of the Bible, and set them up so that now they can...
Dang. Hello?
I'm still here.
Me too, obviously.
I can't stop it, so.
Well, he's recording, not you anyway, right? So the recording is off because he left, right?
No, it's still recording.
Oh. Well, I guess we shouldn't think it's intimidating.
Where did I get cut off?
What was the last thing you said, Jabari? I remembered it until you asked it. You said, they put the European Jews in there. They're not really real Jews. And then, cut off.
Right, good. Okay, so that's what it cut off. So they needed to set up a counterfeit. So that's the reason why the European Jews are running Jerusalem, and that's why the European Jews and the Palestinians and the Arabs are always fighting. Because they're not the real deal, and they're just a counterfeit. So now for this to happen, they're saying, now, we need you guys to build a temple so that we can have this last week of the 70 weeks to be fulfilled. Okay, so what they're saying is, okay, so if you remember the pre-tribulation people, they believe that, okay, the 69th week began at the beginning of his preaching. Okay, so now they're saying that, okay, in the year 30, when the beginning of his preaching, now at that point, this last week is going to begin. They're going to take that 1 week and put it in the future under the tribulation, even though this verse has nothing to do with the tribulation. It never said anything about the tribulation. Okay, so once this occurs, then they said, then we'll be raptured because we're not going to suffer. We don't need to suffer. So the mid-trib people say, no, that's not correct. If we look at the prophecy, we know that the Messiah died 3.5 years after he started preaching. So we're going to take the 3.5 years and say at his death, that's when 3.5 years, we still can't reconcile. And so we're going to take this 3.5 years and throw that into the future. So that's why they say that in the midst of the tribulation that they'll be raptured. So that's how they say that has to fulfill the last of this prophecy. Okay, now remember, when the Messiah started his prophecy, he was baptized by John the Baptist. So that was at age 30 AD, that's when he started his ministry. So it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that's what they're using, the anointing of the Most High, okay, of the holy place, at his baptism. 3.5 years later, he dies, and he puts an end to the ceremonial sacrifices and everything. And so now the question is, can this happen? Did everything was fulfilled? So now how does the post-trib people fit in? Well, the post-trib people say, okay, we know that at 70 A.D., what happened? Okay, not 70 A.D. We know that at 30 A.D., that's when he started his ministry. So that's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And then he, 3.5 years later, he fulfills it by dying on the cross. And then they say 3.5 years later is Stephen stoned. And at the stoning of Stephen is at 33 A.D., so that completes all of the 70-week prophecy. There is nothing to throw into the future as the others, too, would like to do. Okay? So this is what I mean by when they say partial fulfillment. Part of it was fulfilled there, part of it's fulfilled here, and all of it has not been fulfilled. Okay? Does that make a little more sense? I had to break down a partial fulfillment for you to help you understand. Is that clear?
Well, yeah.
Okay. So
I understand the thought of a partial.
Yes, that's a partial. Right. And they're saying that until the rapture occurs or until the seven last plagues and the time of trouble occurs, that's a partial fulfillment. Because the rest of it can't happen until the future. So that's how they mean by partial fulfillment. Now complete fulfillment is as they would say here, okay, the post-trib people say, at the stoning of Stephen, this is complete. The 70 weeks is complete. Now, no problem. I says, okay, that's a dual application. Because my understanding is that I believe that 70 weeks are really going to occur. 490 days, not years. And so theirs is a complete fulfillment, but not the final fulfillment. And the final fulfillment, my understanding, is during the 144,000 that they'll have to live during this particular time frame. This is when the tribulation and all of those things occur. Now, you might be saying, well, why are you saying that when all of this happened and a lot of this occurred? Well, for a few reasons. Remember the seven things. It says to finish the transgression. Number one, transgression is not finished as long as we're sinning on the planet. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay. Now, it says it'll make an end of sins. Is sin ended yet? No, because we're still sinning. Okay, so that's why I said this can't be a fulfillment that already passed because we're living in stuff that ain't fulfilled. Okay, to make reconciliation for iniquity, has he completely made reconciliation for iniquity? No, he doesn't do that until the Day of Atonement when he closes for all mankind. The next one, to bring in everlasting righteousness. Do you see everlasting righteousness anywhere? No. So he didn't bring in everlasting righteousness, but we know when the thousand-year reign begins, that's bringing in everlasting righteousness. And to seal up the vision and to seal up the prophecy and to anoint the most holy place. See, it just said to anoint the most holy. It's the most holy place. It's not anointing the Messiah. So this is the reason why I said this is not the final fulfillment, even though the numbers do add up and you can come up with a complete fulfillment, but it's not the final because the final has to take in all of this. Now, when does iniquity end? Well, when 144,000 are sealed, they can't sin anymore. So then at that point, transgression is finished. And at that point, when he leaves the sanctuary, then there's no more sin that can be taken. So then that means that's the finish to what? Transgression. That's the last time he could accept it. And to make an end of sin, the 144,000 will be blameless, holy, standing before Yahweh. So at a point when they become perfected and they receive the mind of the Messiah, their seal, then there's an end of sin in people's lives. It's not in everybody's life. It's only in what? The 144,000 lives. And to make reconciliation for iniquity, that's when he leaves as high priest in the heavenly sanctuary, and he brings in everlasting righteousness. The everlasting righteousness is the righteousness of 144,000 lives. And at that point, the vision is fulfilled, the prophecy is fulfilled, and the most holy place is anointed. Now, in Revelation chapter 15, the holy place is anointed, and that's when he leaves the sanctuary because the Bible says, that the smoke fills the house, the temple, and no one can enter in. So that's my understanding of the final complete fulfillment. Okay? So that's why they're different ones. Okay? Is that sort of clear? I know you got
yeah.
lots of notes. Yeah.
Because obviously most of that stuff can't be done until the end of days. and the sin and the transgressions, all that kind of stuff. It's obvious we're not there right now.
There we go. So, yes, so we cannot be fulfilling this other stuff that these guys are saying. So this is my point. So my point is the 144,000 have a challenge ahead of them, and these are the things that they'll be dealing with. So, okay, so I hope you got a better understanding of that. Now, and I hope you can see how the 144,000 fit in last days and fulfilling prophecy. And now most people do not take this prophecy to make it reflect in 144,000. Yahweh showed me that was clear. So now that so when that occurs, okay, so we understand all of those things so that when we talk about the tribulation, because that's when it says in Matthew 24, let's just go back to 24 to finish this off. In Matthew chapter 24, we're going to be looking at verse number 30, 29 and 30. Okay, 29 says, immediately after the tribulation of those days. Okay, so that's what we're talking about, the seven seals, seven trumpets, seven plagues. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, this is what they're saying is 7 years. Now, there's nothing in the Bible that says this is going to be thrown off for 7 years. But anyway, whatever. Okay? Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Okay? So now, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. So now this is when Yeshua is coming back. And then shall the tribes, all the tribes of the earth, mourn. Now, during this time frame, up until then, we were having the Battle of Armageddon occurs at this same time. Okay, it's been building, and now it's at this point. So he comes back to rescue us from the armies that have surrounded us and have said that they're going to wipe us off the planet. So this is when he comes. You see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of trumpet. And they shall gather together the elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So here it is again. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. So this is the last trumpet. Remember, during the Great Tribulation, you have the seven seals, seven trumpets, seven plagues. And after all of that, during the Battle of Armageddon, when he comes back, then he blows the trumpet for the last time. And this is the trumpet that reflects to let you know that this is the second coming. And this is the scripture that it says in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven unto the other. And at that point, that's when he sets up Jerusalem, and then the thousand-year reign begins after that. During that time, Satan is thrown into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. At the Battle of Armageddon, all of the armies are wiped out, not the people on the planet that are home. It's just the armies all wiped out. After all of these armies are wiped out, they can no longer fight, and he sets up his rule. And then everything is being run out of Jerusalem. That's when we teach people how to worship Yahweh, and Satan is no longer there to tempt them. So for 1,000 years, he can't tempt them, so they can follow Yahweh and acknowledge his will. And that's how the secret rapture and all this other stuff just falls off real easily. So you got it, my youngin?
Yes. Yeah.
All right, so I'm glad you took a lot of notes.
I did on my phone.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm glad you took a lot of notes. And remember, any of these studies that we're recording, you can go back and listen to. So you can get the detail and take some more notes, because I know we went through it pretty rapidly. Any questions?
Mm-hmm.
No? How about you, Jabari?
Nope.
Is all of this starting to make more sense to you? To y'all too?
Right now.
going.
Well, you got to study some more to see how it's fitting in.
Yeah, it'll be good to recap and go through. And,
yep.
Like I said,
keep going through it. Yep. That's
my notes usually just they just show up. They just show up as basic pointers, kind of. So it's not really all the nitty gritty details. So the point is just kind of paying certain things for me to try to recap on what happened. So I don't mark out every detail. So now it wouldn't be a, hey, I know everything now. It's got to be just little small portions here and there to be like, oh, what did I write this for? Oh, we were discussing this and we were discussing that.
Right. Sounds good. Yep. And you can listen to it. So we got to get you guys some of these studies that people miss, y'all can go back and listen to.
Okay.
That's not on the radio. This is something different. This is on freeconferencecall.com. You can listen back to these. All right. So let's start. And if you have no more questions, when we end with a word of prayer.
Dear God, bless us and keep us as we head our separate directions. So thank you for the study and understanding of your word. Help us to recap and go through and continue to be diligent in your word throughout the week. In your name I do pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Let me cut us off.
Love you guys.
All right, take care.
Hello?
Yeah. He's supposed to be.
Is he on?
I don't think he did the right thing. He spoke.
I don't think he did either.
He'll be laughing at me, girl. Hey, you're laughing.
He's supposed to unrecord it. Otherwise, it's going to keep recording.
Well, it was recorded, then it dropped off, it seems like. I'm not sure of all the intricate details. All right. Anyway, don't worry about it.
All right. Love you guys.
Yeah, okay. Catch you later.
That ain't right. All right, bye.
All right, catch you later.
Ha 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 ha.